Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. We have talked, Kirk and I, and we've had multiple guests on, and we've talked about the difference between sales and marketing, but we really have never interviewed a person with the sales experience, the sales training experience, and the overall acclaim and just the breadth of our guest's coverage. You know, he's been all over the place. He's a TEDx talk. He's been all over different magazines. He's got a book out. And we were really excited. He did what we do, which is reach out to us and say, hey, I think I'd be a great guest on your podcast. And the answer to that is yes, you would be a great guest on our podcast. His name is Wes Schaefer, owner of The Sales Whisperer. Wes, thanks and welcome to the program.
Oh, are we starting now? Is that? Oh man, golly! You gotta tell me these things. Yeah. You gotta give me a heads up.
Hey, you know what, man? You're going with the flow, brother. You've been podcasting for a while. Let's start there. As we were talking, getting to know each other a little bit more before we started recording, you've been podcasting. What you said? 2009.
First started in 2009. I wish I had stuck with it. I had a partner, and we were doing. He's from Kentucky. I'm originally from Louisiana, and it was called Southern Social Media. A couple of rednecks talking about social media. Wow. But I don't even know how many we did, a dozen, maybe a couple dozen, and that kind of petered out. And I started the sales podcast on my own in 2013.
Okay.
So actually, right around now, I think it was July. So it's been exactly 5 years.
Let's talk about your story a little bit, because first off, the website links are all going to be in our show notes, because we obviously want to drive people to find out more about you. But tell us, our listeners, a little bit about who you are and how you became the Sales Whisperer.
I became the Sales Whisperer when I sent the USPTO.gov, a few $100s and registered the trademark. So nice. Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. just nominate yourself, right?
Yes.
Congress is not going to pass a resolution, naming you some guru. So just take the claim. Captain Kangaroo wasn't a captain and Dr. Seuss wasn't a doctor. So just give yourself whatever title you want and just own it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd been in sales since 97 when I got out of the Air Force. And that's all I've known is commission sales. Hmm. And then I was in high tech for quite a while with just a lot of ups and downs. I got into technology in the summer of 2000, which was right when the market was peaking. And then it was just a harried, crazy ride, a bunch of layoffs and reorganizations. And, I'm like, good grief. There's no security in any of this. I'd make my quota and still get laid off. Because if the company's running out of money, they run out of money.
Right.
Doesn't matter how good you are, how much they like you. So I'd actually enrolled in a sales training course in 2006. I was always trying to get better. And I ended up becoming a licensee of that guy. I was his first licensee. It's funny. He only sold three licenses, one to me and two to my referrals. But I've stayed friends with him ever since. And it set me on the path. And I was literally watching The Dog Whisperer. And it was September 1st, 2006. And Cesar Millan said that he rehabilitates the dogs and he trains the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, man, I rehabilitate salespeople who've been abused and I train their sales managers, how to be a good manager. And I bought the domain name and then took off from there.
Let's break down as a sales expert. All of our guests, or I'm sorry, all of our listeners have obviously a huge sales component to their job. A lot of financial planners started off in insurance, where they were, having to pick up the phone, doing the, 100 dials, 10 appointments, one close, that sort of stuff. But there have been some things that have changed. And I want to ask you, what is the role of sales or a salesperson today?
Yeah, I actually started in that world. I was still in the Air Force and I joined Primerica Financial Services. Yeah. And then I became a stockbroker when I got out of the Air Force. So, yeah, I know that world and I know the dialing and the appointments and, but sales is everywhere. When when two people, when two or more people meet, a sale is made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to an intersection, right? A four-way stop sign. Even if you got there first, the other person, you got to sell the other person on why they shouldn't go right ahead of you by inching out early. So there's everything is sales. But I always say that, you know, great marketing makes selling easy, but great selling makes great marketing possible. You know, you have to understand leverage, right? So great marketing gives you leverage. It helps you do one to many, but every component in that process matters. You know, the headline, the jingle, the verbiage, the call to action. When they get to your website, how does it look? When they call your office, how does it sound? Everything matters. So you need to understand, you know, the two sides of the same coin that is sales and marketing. And I always tell people, you know, as a business owner, your number one job is to market your business.
Mm-hmm.
And as a salesperson, you know, your number one job is to prospect, because we can't control, we can't force somebody to buy from us, but we can control ourselves. You can control if you go to bed on time. You can control if you have water instead of six beers before you go to bed. You can control, you know, waking up early, hitting the gym, getting the blood flowing and getting to the office early. If you're starting to make calls at 8 a.m., you don't arrive at 7:59.
Mm-hmm.
We got the British Open going on right now, right? I mean, Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, those guys don't show, they don't sprint from the parking lot to the tee box. They get there early. You know, they stretch, they have a routine. What's your routine for doing the creative work? What's your routine for picking up the phone? What's your routine for setting a meeting or going to a meeting? You got to have all that mapped out.
Mm-hmm. Mindset is something we've talked about, not just from a sales perspective, but also a marketing perspective. You know, when you're sitting down in front of a prospect, when I used to do coaching, I had my own coaching company for a while. We used to talk about it's game time, right? So you're talking about mindset and you know, I lived in Nebraska, and when the Huskers run out on the field, there's a saying and that they, you know, they touch this thing every time they go out. And that's that psychological trigger that now I have to change my brain. Now it's time, you know, I'm going to go play as hard as I possibly can. It's in your experience, do the people that you consult, are they able to make that switch? And if they're not, how do you prepare them for game time?
You know, I approach things differently. I mean, I played ball. I was recruited to play at Air Force as a linebacker.
Okay.
In high school and college, I was always the quiet guy in the corner. You know, I wasn't a guy running around, slapping everybody on the butt, mm-hmm. banging heads. It's not how I roll. And I don't consider myself, you know, a motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I figure if I'm doing all the right things and saying the right things to the right people, the right number of times, then the right things will happen.
Mm.
And, you know, like speaking of golf, right, it's like you have to detach. You can't be sitting there thinking, you know, to get this 3-foot putt, right? So from a physical standpoint, you know, my 4-year-old daughter can hit the ball hard enough to roll 3 feet. So it's not a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mental thing. And you can't be thinking, oh, if I make this putt, I'm going to win $1.8 million and I'm going to have this big trophy and I'm going to be famous for the rest of my life. You cannot be thinking about that at the moment. That's why you have a routine. So you clear your brain, so you literally have no thought going on. So the muscle memory can take over. So in a selling standpoint, you know, the old adage is if you're not ready and willing to walk away from the negotiation table, you have no business being there. So I, in all of my training, I work with my people to just be confident so they can be present. You know, they say in war, right, no battle plan survives contact with the enemy, but you still have to plan. You know, I train Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I learn all these moves, but I don't know what my opponent's going to do. And so I go in confident that I've trained as hard as I can, that I know as many moves as possible for my level. I'm in as good a shape as possible. And so then I clear my brain. We were just talking about this yesterday. It's, you know, I'm still relatively new, a year and a half into this. And so I have more of a defensive game than an offensive game. But I'm confident that I'll almost put myself out there and let them take their shot. Because I'm confident that I can react and get out of it and then put them in a bad spot so I can win. That makes sense. So are you drilling hard enough, like in the military, right? You know, they always tell us that the more you bleed in training, the less you bleed in battle. So, you know, practice, drill, and rehearse, as Tom Hopkins would say, PDR, practice, drill, and rehearse. So when it's game time, you know, a buddy of mine used to always say, you know, if the coach has to remind you that it's the bottom of the ninth with two outs to get you fired up, then the game's probably lost. You know?
Yeah, good point.
You need to have your head in the game. So that's more of a preparation, right? I've just learned personally and my clients, if they're totally prepared and they know they're doing the right things, they're motivated. Motivation, you know, it's a byproduct of being ready.
Why don't sales and marketing get along?
Well, in big companies, it's just, it's bad. I mean, it's residual, maybe it's residue from decades of how business is done. Management, I think, doesn't understand the true relationship. And so they have different objectives. You know, they call them MBO, management by objectives. I experienced this when I was with one of these high-tech firms. It was around 2003. We were at a trade show in Vegas, and it was a financial industry show, as a matter of fact. And I was talking to this bank in Monterey, California. I'd already spoken with the CIO, and so he came by the booth. He came by the booth with two assistants. And literally, as I'm conversing with them at the booth, our marketing director interrupted us and scanned all three of their badges, okay? Because she was paid by the number of names entered into the database on the show floor. And if I hadn't known those people, then I would have been given three names, when in reality, there was only one decision maker, right? So she would have tripled my workload to try to reach the decision maker. Okay. Now the argument can be made, hey, it's good to scan everybody. You need to know who was there. The assistant, you know, you can't reach the boss a lot of times. So if you can establish a relationship with the assistant, then it's going to pay off in the long run. And all that is true. But she wasn't annotating, right, that these two were assistants. She was just scanning the names. And so because I'm paid on stuff sold, whereas she's paid on names collected, you know, everybody's got to agree on what is truly a lead. What is a lead? What is a prospect? What is a suspect? What is a contact? What is a warm lead? What is a hot lead? You know, you need to get clear on what they are so everybody's singing from the same sheet of music. And it's just rare that companies do that. And I think bigger companies are getting smarter about it, but it's still an issue. You know, the salespeople don't like marketing because they're like, oh, you're just a bunch of creative types. You're worried about fonts and color palettes, you know, and I got to talk to humans and, you know, I only get paid on what I kill. You know, the marketing is like, oh, you salespeople are lazy. You only want super qualified leads ready to buy and you just want to take people golfing and dinners and concerts, you know, so, oh, woe is you and whatever. And you're the ones that make all the money. So you got this rift going on, you know, between the two sides, and ultimately it's management's fault.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. Now, you've got the number one sin of marketing and the number one goal of marketing. So from your perspective, what is the number one sin and number one goal?
Well, the number one sin is being boring. You know, you've got to entertain people. I mean, David Ogilvy, you know, he was famous for saying, you know, people don't read ads. They read what interests them, and sometimes it's an ad. And you can see that at the Super Bowl, right? I mean, people tune in to watch the ads. You get up and go to the bathroom during the game so you can be in front of your TV for the ad. So people will watch and read an ad if it's interesting. You know, Robert Collier said we must enter the conversation going on in the mind of the prospect. So is your ad entertaining? Is it answering the questions? Is it addressing the issues that your prospects are concerned with. So, and usually they're not. Usually these things are boring. I mean, good grief. The content, the correspondence I get in email and through LinkedIn messages, I mean, it's just terrible. You know, people are just not good at it. So don't be boring, okay? Be entertaining. It's okay to be entertaining. Now, be careful not to let – you can't be too creative, because you see that on Super Bowl ads as well. It's kind of stopped, but certainly in the dot-com era, people were spending millions of dollars to be cute and creative, but they were not impactful. So it's, you know, you still got to get your message across. You still got to connect, okay? So the number one sin is being boring. You know, the number one job of marketing is to build a big qualified list. You know, sort, sift, and separate. He who has the biggest list wins. He who can spend the most amount of money to acquire a customer wins. But you got to know your metrics. You got to know your numbers. Anything that can be measured can be improved. So are you willing to get down into the weeds and really study what's going on in your business so you know what does it cost to acquire a customer? And you can do it. You know, McDonald's does it. You can do it. But it does take some work.
I've always been amazed at how many business owners have no idea what their cost for client acquisition is.
Right.
Huh. So what am I missing? If you were able to wave your magic wand and get to our audience, financial services professionals, if there was one, not only just one wish, but what would you love for them to be able to fundamentally change in their brain?
You need to understand the value that you bring. And I really believe most people don't. They get kind of in a rut. They do what everyone else does. And when you look and sound and act like everyone else, you know, the only way your prospects can differentiate you from your competition is on price. And so then you just get beat up on price and you get frustrated and you get desperate, you get angry, you want to quit. So understand the value that you bring. And we always hear, you know, zig when they zag. You know, the best time to buy is when there's blood in the street. Well, people forget that the end of that was, you know, even if the blood is yours. So are you willing to really be different and stand apart? You know, I know that world. I know the financial world. I know the healthcare world. And everybody's like, oh, we're so regulated. You know, everything's got to be cleared and approved before we send it out. It's really so tough. So you get into a rut and you just do what everybody else does in your marketing. So you've got to be willing to stand out. You know, deliver a powerful message in a powerful manner. And most people don't. It's me too advertising. But once you really understand the value you bring and the problems you solve and why you're different, why should I do business with you compared to, you know, the 1,000 other brokers in my city and the 200, you know, online, free, low cost, no charge kind of platforms? You know, when you truly understand that, things get easy, things get fun, things get profitable. You know, but are you willing to really stand out? And very few people are.
Amen to that. That is a huge thing that we try to provide for our clients, to make sure that we find out really truly what makes them different and unique, and create their talking points so that they feel confident to have that conversation. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have some stuff, right? So we talk about this when we bring in guests, as most of you know, we want to not only add value for you through the podcast, but hopefully after the podcast too. And we really, really appreciate everybody here at Top Advisor really appreciates, Wes, you being on the show. You have a book. Would you mind sharing with everybody how they can get a copy of your book? And then you also had something free that you wanted to give out.
I do. So the book is called It Takes More Than a Big Smile, a Good Idea, and a Twitter Account to Build a Business That Lasts. I am, like I said before, I'm not a motivational speaker. I give you the cold, hard facts that you can use right away to grow your business, and then you get motivated. Mm-hmm. So it's 79 stories on selling with integrity, automating your marketing, and living abundantly. So the URL is just 79stories.com. So it's the number 7 and 9. So 79 stories. .info. Did I say .com? .info. Seminarswords.info.
Okay.
They can get that. You order it from my website, and you'll get a signed copy from me. And there's discounts for five or more on there as well. So get them for your office. And the free giveaway is thesalesagenda.com. So that's where you can get the exact agenda I've used since 2006 to take control of an appointment and show up with a mutually agreed upon agenda where the prospect understands that they are the one that's going to be doing the talking. Okay. I stopped giving elaborate demos. I stopped showing up with full color brochures. I stopped showing up with laptops and projectors and giving PowerPoint presentations because it just doesn't matter. If you can get the prospect talking and if you can connect with them emotionally, if you can get them involved and admitting, you know, I can't tell you that you have a sore knee, right? Or chest pains. You have to tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're only going to tell me after you Google it and go to WebMD and go to Facebook. Hey, everybody, my knee has hurt nonstop for 6 months. What do y'all think? You know, it's like, go to the doctor, you fool. Okay. And then you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, well, tell me about it. Do you play any sports? Do you run? What's been going on? Did you ski? Did you trip and fall? You know, on and on and on. The doctor doesn't tell you, well, thank you for coming in. As you may or may not know, you know, I went to Johns Hopkins Medical School. Right. I did my fellowship and, you know, residency. He didn't tell you all that. It's the questions that he asks that convinces you and gives you confidence that he knows what he's doing. Then you trust the prescription. So the salesagenda.com helps you set that tone. So you're in control. The customer's talking. And when those emotions get bubbled up, they look at you as the savior, you know, as the solution, and they're much more likely to do business with you.
Wonderful. I think the greatest sales tool that was ever given to me is entirely right down the lines of what you're talking about there, Wes, which is tell me about yourself.
Yeah.
And when we're interviewing financial advisors and they're interviewing us to utilize our products and services to top advisors marketing, the first thing that we ask is tell me about your practice. Because again, I don't know. Right. You might think that you're coming to, you know, like the knee injury example, you know, you might think that you're going to have an arthroscopic surgery or blankety blankety blank. So you're coming in with preconceived notions, and the good doctor comes in without any preconceived notions and asks you the questions to diagnose you correctly. And that's really, and I love your outline. I love that agenda idea. So many people go in and they talk at their client. They're not having a conversation with their client. And Wes, I really appreciate that you have put out information, not only with your podcast, but stuff on your website and your book to promote those people to ask those questions, open-ended questions, see where it goes, go into the presentation prepared, just like you had said earlier, to make it so that they're going to be able to solve the client's problems, not put their problem into their solution. You see what I'm saying? Or force their solution onto a problem that might not be congruent.
Right.
Awesome. Well, hey, man. Oh, real quick. Let's talk about your podcast. How can they subscribe to your podcast?
It is thesalespodcast.com.
Okay.
So that'll take them to the website. From there, I link out to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify. It's on all those places.
What do you think about podcasting? How has it helped you and your business?
It's great. You know, it serves a lot of purposes. It gives me content for the website, you know, on a regular basis. I've gotten to speak with some really smart people for free, you know, the old pick your brain. So that's been fantastic. And it's perpetual content, right? It's organic. Mm-hmm. It lives forever. I mean, people are still downloading the very first episode, you know, from 5 years ago. And think about the intimacy, right? When's the last time you were able to speak uninterrupted to a client or a prospect for 30 or 45 minutes or an hour, you know, and that's what a podcast lets you do. You know, you're in their head, they're commuting, they're sitting on an airplane and they're listening to you. So do it.
Do it. Awesome. One of the things that our clients have found is people who are listening to the podcast are coming in pretty much pre-sold, because you've already educated them on the major aspects of who you are. And I love the fact that you said that it was intimate. You know, I'm sitting here, Wes, you know, in my house, I've got over-the-ear headphones. and your voice is going directly into my brain, right? Everything that you're saying is being recorded in a different way because, you know, you have that kind of feeling of being alone and in private. And that's why I love podcasting too. I also think it's a very easily distributable as you're doing right now. I mean, you're blowing it up with numbers. You know, you've done a whole bunch of podcasts, and from one podcaster to another, I mean, you're a freaking star and your podcasts are phenomenal. I listened to a few of them before. I just kind of wanted to get a feel of your voice and your style. You know, everybody, what you hear from Wes right now, that's what you get. And please, if you or your organization needs sales training, and I'm telling you, right, every one of you does. It doesn't matter what your numbers are. It doesn't matter where you are from a production level or experience level. If you've been through, you know, Ziegler, Sandler, freaking everybody's training in the world, every single solitary year, you need to bring somebody in like Wes to go back over the stuff. This is practice. This is what a professional does. You're going to bring in somebody who's going to help you with something specific in order to make you do even better in your career. So Wes, thank you so much for everything that you do. You know, I'm hoping that this will give some financial advisors the swift kick in the butt to hire you, especially sales managers who are working with insurance companies. I hope that you get some good business from this because we really appreciate your thought wisdom.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. So for Wes and everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we want to thank you very much for listening today, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.